Now, remembering the underpriest's promise, Corrus decided Tanner had been right. The Earl had declined Tanner's offer to go below to the shelter of Hornet's day cabin. He'd thought he'd seen approval for his decision in the underpriest's eyes, and Tanner had entrusted him to the charge of a grizzled old seaman, or was that properly iceman, Corrus had wondered, with instructions to find the Earl a safe spot from which to experience the journey. The tow away from the docks hadn't been nearly as laborious-seeming an affair as Tanner's description might have suggested. That could have been because Corrus had never before experienced it, and so had no backlog of wonder-dulling familiarity to overcome. Unlike Tanner and his crew, he'd been seeing it for the very first time, and he'd watched in fascination as the snow lizards were jockeyed into position. It had been obvious the lizards had done this many times before. They and their drovers had moved with a combination of smooth experience and patience, and heavy chains and locking pins had clanked musically behind the frothing surface of commands and encouragement, as the heavy traces were attached to specialized towing brackets on Hornet's prow. Given the complexity of the task, they'd accomplished it in a remarkably short time, and then, encouraged by much louder shouts, the snow lizards had leaned into their collars with the peculiar, hoarse, almost barking whistles of effort with which Corrus had become familiar over the last month or so. For a moment, the ice boat had refused to move. Then the runners had broken free of the ice, and she'd begun to slide gracefully after the straining snow lizards. Once they'd had her in motion, she moved easily enough, and as they'd eased steadily away from the docks, Corrus had felt the first icy fingers of the freshening breeze, which Tanner had promised waited for them out on the lake. It had taken them the better part of 3/4 of an hour to get far enough out to satisfy Tanner, but then the snow lizards had been unhooked, the senior drover had waved cheerfully, and the tow team had headed back to Lakeview. Corrus had watched them go, but only until crisp-voiced commands from the cramped quarterdeck had sent Hornet's crew to their stations for making sail. The closer-to-hand fascination of those preparations had drawn his attention away from the departing snow lizards, and he'd watched as the ice boat's lateen sail was loosed. In some ways, his familiarity with conventional ships had only made the process even more bizarre. Despite the fact that his brain had known there were probably hundreds of feet of water underneath them, he hadn't been able to shake the sense of standing on dry land, and there'd been an oddly dreamlike quality to watching sailors scurrying about a ship's deck when the gleaming ice had stretched out as far as the eye could see with rock-steady solidity. But if he'd felt that way, he'd obviously been the only one on Hornet's deck who did. Or perhaps the others had simply been too busy to worry about such fanciful impressions. And they'd certainly known their business. That much had been clear as the sail had been loosed. The canvas had complained, flapping heavily in the stiff breeze whistling across the decks, and Hornet had stirred underfoot, as if the ice boat were shivering with eagerness. Then the sail had been sheeted home, the yard had been trimmed, and she'd begun to move. Slowly at first, with a peculiar grating and yet sibilant sound from her runners. The motion underfoot had been strange, vibrating through the deck planking with a strength and a hardness Corrus had never experienced aboard any waterborne vessel. That wasn't exactly the right way to describe it, but Corrus hadn't been able to think of a better one, and he'd reached out, touching the rail, feeling that same vibration, shivering throughout the vessel's entire fabric, and dancing gently in his own bones. The ice boat had gathered way slowly in the beginning, but as she'd slid steadily farther out of Lakeview's wind shadow, she'd begun to accelerate steadily. More quickly, in fact, than any galley or galleon, and Corrus had felt his lips pursing in sudden understanding. He should have thought of it before, he'd realized, when Tanner first described Hornet's speed to him. On her runners, the ice boat avoided the enormous drag water resistance imposed on a normal ship's submerged hull. Of course, she accelerated more rapidly, and without that selfsame drag, she had to be much faster in any given set of wind conditions, which was exactly what she'd proven to be.